media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome, everybody. Today is the 17th, of course, of March, and that is the official day of St. Patrick's Day. And I'm glad to be here with you. Dave will be joining us here, and, you know, I'm glad to have him along. Really good to be with you folks. And, you know, a little kind of cool and chilly where I am here, of course, and they had the St. Patrick's Day parade downtown last week, I guess, to kind of warm up, and the official St. Patrick's Day is today, of course. I'm a big fan of St. Patrick, actually. You know, from what I understand, I was doing some more research on the internet. St. Patrick was never canonized as an official saint of the Catholic Church. Did you know that? That's from what I understand, unless it's happened very recently. Now, there are a lot of Catholics, of course, who honor him. It's a state holiday in places like Ireland and other countries right now. But he was never officially one of those saints to go along with Teresa and the popes and all those other people that we've heard about over the years. And interesting fellow. And, you know, I think there's a lot to that. The guy was... there's a lot of his history. I have to go from memory here because I don't have my pages up because I was looking for specific information. I think he started something like over 400 churches or 400 chapels in Ireland during his time. He grew up as a young man. He was actually British or a Scotch fellow who was abducted by pirates, the Irish pirates, a pretty vulgar group, by the way. And forced to be a slave as a young man and a young boy, young youth, and he escaped from Ireland, went back to Scotland, and of course he could have been angry and spent the rest of his life being angry at those people, but he decided instead to go over there and evangelize them. Being a Christian man, he wanted to go back to Ireland and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this was in the late 300s AD, in that era. And so what he did was he got on a boat and he took a trip and he went over there and he began to teach people. And he spent a long time over in Ireland with the very people who had abused him. And he started a lot of churches. Now, the story about the snakes in Ireland, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of legends, of course, but there are places where you can go today, apparently, that there were churches or little places that he had built among the communities that are still around today. Quite a fellow. And you know, he was something else. And so, of course, you know, it's to me, I like the guy. I think he was quite an interesting fellow. And I have a story to tell about St. Patrick, and it has to do with the St. Patrick's Day parade. Now, I may have to switch between dialects here, so bear with me. And it goes like this. There was a St. Patrick's Day parade in New York, you know, in that area, of course, a lot of people out celebrating. But unfortunately, there was an accident in which a huge truck came off the overpass. and landed right smack dab in the middle of the street. And so Officer Muldoon showed up first to look and see, said, "Oh my, this is a mess. What a mess we have here." And he looked inside and there was a young Irish lad there, and it didn't look good. He says, "Lad, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all. I'm afraid you're pinned in here, and I'm not going to be able to get you out." And the young Irish lad said, "Officer Muldoon, can you help me at least call for a priest? Call for a priest to give me my last rites." So Officer Muldoon looked around in the crowd and he said, "Is there a priest here? Is there a priest anywhere? Come on, we've got a dying lad here. Get a priest and fast." Well, there wasn't a priest to answer. So he said, "I'm afraid not, lad. I'm afraid it's bad, and we can't even get you a priest for your last rites." And so the young man said, "I'm going to expire, but if I don't have me priest, what is going to happen? I might spend longer in purgatory." So he called out one more time. He said, "Is there a priest? Is there a priest here? A priest? A priest anywhere?" Well, there wasn't a priest, but there was a little fellow who was a rabbi who, kind of in the back of the crowd, said, "I'm not a priest, but I am a rabbi, and I'm in service to man and God. What have you got here, officer?" And he said, "You're a rabbi, and that's not a priest. We need a priest here." And he said, "Well, you know, I live right next to St. Mary's, and I hear everything going on over there all the time, and I think from memory I can remember from memory what I hear." And so the officer said, "Well, Rabbi, it's worth a try. It's worth a shot. So we've got to get to this lad. He's dying." So the rabbi took his way and went over there, and he stepped inside, and he looked inside the cab of this truck, and he said, My son, can I help you?" And the dying lad said, "I need the last rites, father. I need the last rites, but you don't look like a father to me." He said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." He kind of winked at Officer Muldoon. He said, "I can take care of this. I can take care of this." And he said, good. "Please help me, father. I'm about to die." And the little rabbi said, I will help you. Oy vey, let me see if I can remember what I hear over there all the time. Okay, I got it now. He says, "What is it, father?" He said, Before. "Before what? Before what, father?" "Before I-29. The man was getting his last breaths. He said, little rabbi said, "Under the N-33, G-55. And that's the end of the story. Obviously, this dying man did not receive his last rites, nor did he get a bingo. So, story being told there. I thought it would be kind of a good entryway into this. You know, friends, you can't rely on religion in the last minutes. I'm going to promise you that, okay? There's no way that you're going to fix things up with some system of man at the last minute with God, okay? I don't make a joke about death, okay? Death really isn't funny, but I use this as an illustration. It's kind of lead in here to topics today, of course. There could be a lot of others. There's lots of news, and we talk about that all the time, maybe too much on this show, but I thought since it was St. Patrick's Day, I would bring that up. St. Patrick was never a saint or never canonized officially as a saint, but he did a lot of great work. He's one of those people out there. And, you know, we think of him very highly on this day, of course, and not just because we drink green beer and, you know, corned beef and cabbage, but he was a real person. He did what he did in his time, and he is considered even today by a lot of people to be one of the most notable people in the early part of, you know, that era in the 385, early 400 era. He did a lot to change things in Ireland. And yeah, that's why we remember him. So if Dave is joining us here, Dave, did you like my story? Did you get a chance to hear it?
Yeah, I did. I got a chuckle off of it. I'm sitting here having to restart some things because I noticed a problem. But hey, at least I got the little backup remote walkabout way to get into the show. So good. I was actually able to come back to you when you called for me. I'm still working on trying to get the main stuff up. I had all sorts of technical difficulties last night.
Yeah.
Van full of monkeys worth of fun anyway.
Yeah. I was going to try to hook up with you and listen in on some of your amateur radio stuff, which, as I understand, is like taking this show into super hyperdrive as far as what you have to do and everything like that. But I couldn't do it because my daughter had to do a PowerPoint program that she neglected. And, of course, she doesn't have her little stick pin thing at the library. And all. She had to do all this work here on my computer. So I was out on that. But I'm glad you're back today. And, you know, I tell that story. And sometimes when I get to the B4I29N33 stuff, you know, the little rabbi is reciting from what he heard over at St. Mary's all the time. You know, a lot of people don't get it. You know, sometimes you it takes a minute or two before you get to, you have to keep going down the INGO, you know, before they finally start to pick up on it, you know, but,
I caught it from the very beginning, Steve. I thought it was funny.
Good. Good. Well, I don't mean to be insulting, friends, but I do think it's a point there that, you know, people do, get involved in all kinds of religious stuff. You know, just like they get into a lot of festive holidays too, you know, whether it's St. Valentine's or St. Patrick's or whether it's, you know, Halloween, Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July, Veterans Day. You know, I mean, it's, there's a lot to these things, but of course, you know, the story that St. Patrick had, concerning what he did during his lifetime was really somewhat remarkable, I think, and it's odd that even at this day and age, the Catholic Church does not even recognize him as a bona fide canon saint. But a lot of people do all over the world. So that being said, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day, Dave, and I'm glad to have you along. And a lot of stuff happening anyway. And, you know, the world goes on in spite of green rivers and green streets and green hats and leprechauns, you know, and pots of gold, you know. But that's where we are today.
Yeah, I'll take the pot of gold. I'm just glad to be here, Steve. It was kind of a mess last night. Wow. It was about 6 gigabytes worth of audio recording that we did, and that certainly was the problem because that broke down the audio chain. I couldn't get on the air anymore. We basically had the amateur radio equivalent of a radio show that lasted over 4 hours and took more than 135 calls.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing.
It was busy.
Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, it's kind of fun. I mean, I know in some ways, though, you know, amateur radio is, hi, I'm here. Where are you? I'm there. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't really pertain to a lot of information. But there are things that are going on there that are important, right?
Absolutely. Well, that last night was just a fellowship thing. And we've been doing that for 24 years. Last night was the 24th birthday of it all. And so we had everybody come by and celebrate it. And we were going to commemorate it with a certificate and all that stuff. So we had everybody piling up, trying to get on board. And about partway through, the machine that we were using to log all the contacts in there broke down. At least I've got a recording of it all so I can go back and actually, you know, put together a list. So at least we'll be able to do that. I had to reboot, and it's like, okay, well, if I do that, I'm going to cancel, you know, half of the recordings that I've got. And I'm glad that I didn't, because there was a little bit of latency that was getting into the mix in the wrong direction, actually, oddly enough, that I could fix because I had a multi-track recording and I had everything separated out. With everything else, I would have had a much harder time cleaning it up. So I'm glad that I didn't reboot and I didn't interrupt the recording.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Well, we'll get together and we'll do some more of this, and I'll be weighing in on that and eventually getting much more involved in it. And again, friends, we're talking about alternative communication because there are things that are probably encroaching. We're seeing some stuff. You know, I've been looking at some of these stories and some of these provocateurs that are in the Trump rallies, the difficulties they're starting to have right now. I mean, there's a lot of dirty tricks that are already starting, friends. And we're going to have to be very aware and awake of what's happening, keep this communication line open. A lot of stuff is really bad in terms of, you know, where these people want to, you know, congregate to hold on to power. We've seen these stories come up, and I expect there's going to be a lot of them, stories right now about how the Republican Party is planning to tell all the voters in the primaries, go to hell, we will do what we want to do, and the people in the primaries are saying, no, you're not. And I think there's a lot of congressmen and senators and people like that who are up for vote right now who are telling the party, you better watch out, because, as I said before, here in Colorado, they decided we weren't going to have a straw vote or anything pertaining to who we wanted to go with in this state in the primaries. And, man, they people who were angry and just burned the phone lines for about a week on talk radio locally here about what the Republican Party did. So I can tell you they're playing with dynamite there. It's not going to work. That's not going to happen in terms of down the road here. Why Ted Cruz is hanging around and still pretending like something is going to change in his direction, I strongly doubt that it will. It's time for him, I think, to bow out. And I think, unfortunately, whether people don't like it, Trump is going to be the nominee for the Republicans, and they might as well get on with it right now, as we've been saying. And not that I want to rehash all of the election stuff, but, you know, there's a lot of things going on. Here's a story that I think is interesting outside the country, of course, and this is Erdogan, you know. Erdogan is now boasting and bolstering and doing all kinds of things to, you know, try to set up his power and to basically set himself up as a dictator. He's been on the verge of losing it for a long time. From Zero Hedge, March 17th, that's today, it is not only the person who pulls the trigger, but those who made it that possible who should be defined as terrorists regardless of their title. And that's what Turkish President Erdogan said on Monday in an attempt to convince parliament to include journalists, politicians, academics, and activists under the country's anti-extremism laws, or hence terrorists, in other words. Erdogan's comments came a day after the latest in a string of suicide bombings ripped through Ankara, killing 34 and wounding more than 100 in Gazeli, I guess that's the way the place is called. Since then, Turkey has arrested nearly 50 people with suspected ties to PPK, that's the Kurds, by the way, against which Erdogan is waging a highly personal crusade. Apparently, the president doesn't think the parliament is moving fast enough on his request to expand the definition of terrorist, quote, terrorist, because in a speech on Wednesday, he effectively instructed lawmakers to get moving before also urging parliament to deal with the issues of immunities. So Erdogan desperately wants to prosecute the HDP members who he says are guilty of inciting terrorism. We must swiftly finalize the issue of immunities, he said. Parliament must take steps to issue this swiftly, and he added, as if the first statement was in some way unclear. In other words, they're not listening to him. Well, this guy, this little tin horn, is in trouble and has been for a long time in Turkey, my friends. And it doesn't, of course, now that we find out that his family's been involved in buying all this oil that's coming out of Iraq via ISIS, and they're involved with that big part of the monetary thing there.
You reckon that's what it's all about, Steve?
I reckon. Yeah, I would say there's probably a connection there, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yep. I do. I definitely do. And I'm getting tired of all this terrorism thing. They have such a loose definition of what a terrorist is that it could mean anything. It's just convenient. Oh, well, we want to go after them. Okay, well, they're terrorists. We can go after them now. Bomb them, bomb them, bomb them.
Yeah, there's a lot of those people, and, you know, that's exactly it. You know, it's just like George W. said, if you're not with us, then you're with the terrorists. See, the terrorists. I mean, it's like anybody who wasn't with George W. was a terrorist. That's essentially what he said to people, and they cheered him for a while. You know, he's not a very a popular president anymore, I don't think.
It wouldn't work today. No. We've been through this so many times, and it's so tired, and people are sick of it. It would not work the same way. If we had another 9/11 style, you know, event and all of that, we would not have a bunch of flag wavers. We would not have a bunch of people going, yes, we need to go to more war, more war. We're sick of all this crap.
Yeah. Yeah, the American people have gotten very, very tired, and they've been very, very patient, I think, with what's been going on all this time. And most people know something's very wrong. I mean, in both parties, actually. They know that there's this huge amount of debt that they say is ours, and what they do, of course, the Federal Reserve, the way they operate, is They borrow money on your credit. That's the way they operate. They say, well, we have Dave and Steve and all of our listeners here, and they all have a credit rating, and they'll be paying taxes for the next 25 years. Therefore, we're going to borrow money and levy it on their credit, not on their own. You know, of course, if they lose the bet and they lose on these deals, it's us that picks up the tab. And this has been happening for a long, long time. Yeah. So it's, you know, the point is, how are they going to rein these people in is the question. I don't know how you're going to catch up with these guys, but, everybody knows something's very wrong with the banksters and, the way their system operates.
Well, I was hearing a little bit of noise that Ireland is getting ready to do something about their banksters, so that'll be kind of interesting to watch. We know that Iceland did. They jailed the bankers, they fired the government that was complicit in it, and wrote off most of the odious debt, and as a result, their economy has recovered nicely.
Yes,
we don't get to hear about that, because we'll get some uppity ideas. We can't have the slaves getting out of line now, can we?
No, we can't have that, and that's one of the things they don't want, of course. And, you know, the government is still moving in on taking over more land. This article from Mark Bradley in Mrs.org, it says that 76.9%, or let's just call it 77% of the total land
in
the United States.
Hold that thought. We got a break.
Oh, yeah, break coming up. Okay, hang on.
Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today, it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches, and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. If there was ever a doubt in our mind that radio works, it's gone. We have received such response to our $350 down, $99 a month land purchase opportunity from you that we are blown away. To keep our overhead down, we're using an internet-based sales tool so you can buy with confidence and purchase your land in New Mexico with just a click of a mouse and even pay with PayPal. But some people have said they'd like to arrange multiple parcels or have other questions. We'd be happy to talk to you. Call us toll-free at 855-LANDHO1. That's 1-855-LANDHO1. New Mexico land parcels are still available at only $350 down and $99 a month. This is beautiful land near amenities of a city, but far enough away to be private. And in as little as 1 year, you own it. $350 down, $99 a month. As the days go on, the land gets more and more limited, so visit us online at LANDHO.TV. LANDHO.TV right now.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Welcome back back, everybody. It's your Lightspeed today, and Steve Starrs and Etheric Dave sitting in on St. Patrick's Day, and we're glad to be with you here on the network Monday through Friday, of course, even when it's a holiday like St. Patrick's Day. We're here. So, Dave, yeah, we were talking a little bit about this article, and, of course, you know, I was reading just a bit of it. This is according to what they call the importance of an economic calculation. In economic calculation in the socialist commonwealth, Ludwig von Mises challenged the socialists to explain how economic calculation could be performed in a socialist economy absent prices. Mises concluded that the economic calculation in the socialist economy is impossible, therefore socialism is impossible. Well, if you don't tell...
Use a calculator, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, and too bad Bernie Sanders isn't here, but Mises wasn't saying that you couldn't have a socialist society. He was just saying that it's not an economy in the sense that decision makers are economizing regarding their decisions about the allocation of resources. Now, he goes on down here in the article to say that under these kinds of calculations, about 80% of all the land in the United States is actually government-owned, and we know the BLM is planning to take over more and more formally all the time. So he says, land socialism in the United States. My interest in this topic was inspired by Yuri Maltsev. A few years ago, Dr. Maltsev gave a talk at Ferris State University focusing on the evils of the Soviet socialism. A portion of the presentation can be seen on this website. Now, nobody disagreed with Yuri's point that the Soviet economy was socialized. However, they took some heavy issue with Yuri's claim that the U.S. economy was also socialized to a large degree. And this led me to consider the degree of land socialism in this country. That is a critical issue. Starting with the available land and labor, the structure of the production is determined by the available technology and the capital that we derive from the available land and labor. Government control of the natural resources gives the government tremendous control of the whole economy, distorts prices, and diminishes the efficacy of our economic calculation. So he just goes to show you the percentage of federal land and the percentage of state land here. In Alaska, for example, it's 61.2% is federal, 30% is state, making that 91.2%. Well, that's Alaska. But let's look at some other states, like let's look at Colorado. Percentage of federal land, 35.9%. Percentage of state land, 4.4%. That's 40.3% here in just Colorado. In New York, 3% of the land is federal, or 0.3% that is, and 36.7% owned by the state, 37% there. So Nevada has the largest percentage of 84.9% of federally owned lands, but 30% of Alaska is state-owned. So Alaska has the largest percentage of government-owned lands. Well, anyhow, you're talking about a whole lot of our property, and they want more and more all the time, it seems, doesn't it?
Yep, they want to collateralize it on debt or do whatever with it or give it to private crony interests to make a bunch of money. I mean, it's a whole bunch of things. The states shouldn't bend over and let the federal government bully them. It's up to the states to manage this stuff, and like what we have in Nevada, the state just doesn't want to deal with it. Okay, so here, let the feds deal with it. So, you know, you got to blame Nevada for that.
Yeah, you really do. And it also says down here, note that these numbers do not include the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The federal government claims that the 55 million acres of BIA lands are Indian lands, not federal lands. Well, I don't know if the Indian tribes agree with this assessment. The Indian lands, if they were a state, would be the 11th largest state, most equal in size to about Utah, 54.3 million acres. Then the Department of Defense administers 14.4 million acres of land, according to the 2014 congressional report. And so there's no explanation for the missing 4.6 million acres in the 2014 report, because the congressional report with the same title as this report claimed the Department of Defense administers 19 million acres. So, I mean, we're talking about huge amounts of land. You know, National Park Service, it's 79.6. Department of Defense, 14.4. That's the low figure there. Fish and Wildlife, 89.1 million. United States Forest Service, 192, twice as much. Bureau of Land Management, our friends at BLM, 247.3 million acres. So, I mean, you're talking about a huge amount of land that either people are living on and think they own, or, you know, it's basically outright owned and controlled totally by the government here.
Well, the federal government actually can't own the land, enclave clause and all that kind of stuff. So, hey, we can talk about that some more after this break.
Yep, coming right back. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Hey, Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Lightspeed, the long segment of our show today. I'm Steve Starnes, along with Etheric Dave. Glad to be with you. A lot of stuff in the news. Dave, you got any topics here? I've got a couple. If you're still digging through some things, what do you got there?
I'm still recovering from last night. I mean, good grief. You know, not only was it a, you know, radio show, quote, you know, the 135 plus callers, a lot of them, you know, stayed around and were on the air at the same time because you didn't have just one or, you know, two or five phone lines. You had 135 different stations participating with this. It was really kind of interesting. And, you know, when you have all the pileups there in the beginning, everybody trying to fight it, to get in there because they all want that special certificate and all. I think I kind of learned a few things about how it actually went through last night, where when I kind of, you know, market this quote, you know, for the couple of weeks leading up to next anniversary next year, I'm going to tell them all different times. So people show up at different times. They're not all at the, 7 o'clock. Oh, let's all get on here. Everybody at once. And you can't hear anybody when there's 15 people trying to transmit at the same time. It was an absolute circus. For the most part, it went pretty well. We did have one idiot out there deciding to be a monkey and started trying to jam the whole thing for, you know, a little while. He got bored and kind of went away. That was kind of disappointing because we usually don't have that. And on a special night like that, when I was trying to record it and keep it for posterity, you had to have somebody acting the fool. And, you know, I was kind of disgusted at that point. It's like, you know, the heck with it. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, it's kind of wear you out, that's for sure. It sounded like you had, you know, a lot going on and maybe a lot of frustration and fussing and, of course, but that's kind of like the old...
But it was kind of fun, and I don't mind going through a little bit of effort, you know, for a group like this because we have a really unique group there, Steve, because these people actually live what they believe. They will go out of their way to help neighbors and strangers. In fact, you know, a couple guys have been helping a less fortunate friend of mine, and they've driven hundreds of miles to give him equipment and help him set things up, expecting absolutely nothing in return. They just did it because they're a friend. And, you know, being able to have a group of people like that that you can associate with, I mean, you know, there's a lot of pleasure to be had in that. You know, so you fight through a few technical problems, and every once in a while you get some, you know, non-affiliated, you know, geek in there trying to act a fool. They usually get bored and leave, but it's all worthwhile and of itself, really.
Yeah, that's a good thing to be involved with, of course, and this is where we're going to go a lot more with, maybe even get a show on the network here for just amateur radio people, you know, if Dave
at some point.
Yeah,
at some point, I'm going to need to be able to get a bunch of content pre-prepared where I've got, you know, a few weeks worth of content, you know, built up that way. I'm not going to do a bob and, you know, not show up to my show for, you know, days and days and days at a time where I can be like, okay, here you go, air this one. It's kind of an archive, but nobody's heard it before. It's new material. So, you know, there you go. And there is, you know, plenty to talk about. The hobby is huge. There are so many different aspects to it, to, you know, the HF, to the VHF, to digital modes, to amateur television, you know, to the mesh networks and the broadband, satellite operations. I mean, there's so many different things out there. You can spend a lifetime in the hobby and never experience it all. It really is pretty neat. I like it. You know, yeah. plug. Get into your amateur radio hobby there.
Yeah. Sounds like fun and a lot of work, but at the same time, very rewarding and maybe essential, friends, in the days to come because, you know, we can't trust.
You got that right. Because we practiced all this, you know, contingency communication. So, you know, if the grid goes down and there's social unrest and everything's all wonky, we're still going to be talking to each other. We've got so many different methods of doing it, you know, from the digital to the voice to, you know, this to that. They would have to jam the entire radio spectrum to keep us able to talk to each other. We get people a little bit more prepared on that. We got a lot of like-minded people out there. I have made more friends that have been like lifelong friends through this hobby than any other activity, even on the computer. I've met a lot of really great people that have just been there through thick and thin, and you can really count on, you know, they're wonderful folks. I've also met some people that I really kind of wish that I wouldn't have, but, you know, you're going to have that anywhere in life. So they're not all saints out there, Steve, but, you know, when you can get a group that kind of, you know, have like-minded people gravitating together and enjoying the fellowship with one another. I mean, because really, when you look at it, fellowship is really what it's all about. Because when all this is said and done and all of this burns, the only thing we are going to take with us is each other. Period. End of list.
Right on, man. Very good perspective on all of that, you know. Considering also that we're not all saints, there's another announcement from Pope Francis. He's launched an appeal to the nations of the world to open their hearts and their doors to migrants who are standing at the border, in an apparent reference to the many migrants camped at the key border positions trying to enter Europe. And this story is from
invasion.
Yeah, that's what it is. And this story is from Breitbart, of course, and it's by Thomas D. Williams. Today was sent out, and this has gotten out all over. And it says, during the last year, more than 1.1 million immigrants entered the European Union, and the unabated flow has prompted countries along the main migration corridor through the Balkans to seal their borders, leaving tens of thousands encamped in Greece. Now, this is what got me about the story. The Pope compared today's migrants to the people of Israel, who were deported into Babylon in the 7th century BC, as recounted in the biblical book of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, this shows you how weak his theological discourse is. Those people weren't deported. They were taken away as slaves. God warned them, I'm getting tired of you guys. He gave them a generation or two to get it straightened out, and they never did. And what happened was that God said, I'm appointing a guy to come in and take over, and he's going to be a heathen. And it was the king of Babylon, friends. They went away in chains is what happened. These people didn't migrate. They were hauled off as slaves. Now, how can the Pope use this as a reference? I mean, you go on down to the story. He says, one of his quotes is, how many of our brothers and sisters are living in this time of a real dramatic situation of exile? I should do an Italian. Francis said, far from their homeland. No, that's my Jewish voice. I did that already, didn't I? Far from their homeland. I've got so many dialects, it's hard to come up with one. But, you know, Don Campbell can do so many voices. We ought to get him on here. But still, in their eyes, the reflection of the homes reduced to rubble, their hearts full of fear and often, unfortunately, sorrow at their loss of loved ones. And when they try to go somewhere else, they find the door closed to them, Francis continued. They are at the border because so many doors and so many hearts are closed. Today's migrants suffer from the cold without food, and in no way can they enter. They do not feel welcome. Well, you know, obviously the problem really here has nothing to do with the situation of a lot of people not wanting to help these folks. It's the globalists who've created all this chaos with the Arab Spring that he's been supporting all this time, and all of the rotten, decrepit countries. Look at Latin America, for example. There's no excuse, in my opinion, for Latin America to be in the condition it is in today, because they're so close to the United States. They have a lot of resources. They have a lot of good, hard-working people, but they've been underneath this feudalistic system for so long and been manipulated and controlled by this bad economic situation, and the Roman Catholic Church has been a part of it for a long time. We will celebrate Cinco de Mayo this year for the real reason, when Benito Juarez rose up against the church and against these foreign banks and tried to set the people free there. That's what Cinco de Mayo was really all about, friends, in 1861. But anyhow, the Pope goes on to say, Francis said the Babylonian exile was a devastating experience for Israel. You think? Read Lamentations in the book. Yeah.
Yeah, we've read that. Yeah. You know, he's off base on all of that. And my heart goes out to all the victims of all of this stuff, because there's been so many innocent people, millions of them, get in the way of this agenda. But the reason that this refugee crisis is happening now and didn't start happening 14 years ago is all because of the New World Order agenda. They are weaponizing these people against us, whether or not these people know it or not. So, yes, we have compassion, but at the same time, are we going to go ahead and bend over and do what the New World Order wants, erase the borders, let these people in, let God knows what else in with them, because this is what these people want. You know, if it comes down to a revolution here in the United States, I think that the rank and file of the military is going to be on the side of the people, because they are the people. They're not going to be wanting to get orders to go, you know, slaughter their communities and kill their families and all of that stuff. But the people that have no loyalty whatsoever to anyone here in the United States will be totally willing to do whatever. Oh yeah, yes sir, okay, cool. Because as far as they're concerned, we're all strangers to them. You know, this is definitely a very, very big, huge threat. And yeah, I feel for them. And what we need to do is stop bombing their countries. How about that? How about that for compassion? Why don't we go at the root cause of this stuff, Pope?
Yeah, that's exactly it, because we're not getting to the real problem here. That's exactly what's going on. It's like there's only a few life rafts still afloat, because the New World Order and all these globalists have sunk everybody else's. And so now the Pope's solution is flood the last life raft. You know, I mean, that's where they're going with this. They don't want to fix the problems in this country. Yeah, it's pretty much that way. I mean, I'm not saying it's all set up this through this one institution of the Catholic Church, but friends, in a lot of these
one
places.
Of many.
Yeah, it's just one of many. I mean, we can see whether it's communism, whether it's Islam, whether it's, you know, places in Latin America, people in Africa in dilapidated conditions and places like that, of course, all over Eastern Europe. But the situation is they're doing just exactly what David Rockefeller was prescribing to do to create the New World Order, which was destroy borders, destroy nationalities, destroy economies, destroy all sovereignties, and turn the whole thing into one big ugly stew of a mismatched human race of people disgruntled and out of order and can't even talk the same language and can't work with each other, of course. And then when the pressure comes, they all divide up in their little camps and start fighting. And as long as they can create that, they can run the number on us. So you can see where this Pope is coming from. He's using Jesuitism, and obviously his biblical model isn't close to what the real Bible says. Those people were expelled by God Almighty from that region because they had lost it. God had warned the Jews. He did the same thing again in 70 AD, according to the prophecies of Jesus. He drove them out the second time. You know, the same way. I mean, it was a repeat of history. He wasn't impressed with their temple. He wasn't impressed with their religion. He wasn't impressed with their attitude. He wasn't impressed with anything, and he warned them, this is what's coming. And it did. So these people who were taken out of there were not exiles. They were slaves in chains is what they were, friends. And, you know, his theology here, you would think a guy like that wouldn't stoop to something as low as a comparison to the Babylonian exile. It really wasn't an exile. It was a captivity is what it was called. And, you know, I mean, using that kind of stuff, I mean, obviously this guy's
Head of the Catholic Church doesn't even know his theology. How about that? Hey, we got a few minutes left. Do we want to get some calls in here, Steve?
Yeah, we do. I think we have White Rose hanging on there if he's with us still. And let's go to him and see if he's with us. Hey, are you there, buddy?
Yes, gentlemen. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Give us an update. What's going on?
I'll give you an update when I have some more information to give you about the trial. I just wanted to bring up a couple of points of what we can do to actually change all this. Actual okay. things we can do. Okay.
All right.
You guys ever hear of 15 statute at large?
No, I haven't really. So let's hear some more about it.
15 statute at large is explained in Lee Brobst's book. USA, the Republic is the house that no one lives in, and he goes into it in great detail. I have links on my website to that, but I have a portion of what that means, what 15 statute of large is. It's the Expatriation Act. Did you know that you can expatriate from a political jurisdiction and not have to expatriate from the actual physical land territory?
I have heard that, yeah, and I'm not sure how it works,
well,
but I think, yeah, go ahead.
That's what the 15 statute at large is, and I have a slightly detailed on my website, and some stuff there that you can copy and paste and print out and use as a document, which is a personal declaration of independence. You notice everybody always keeps mentioning the Bill of Rights, but very few people mention a Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration of Independence goes before the Bill of Rights, and it's more important than the Bill of Rights, actually. And we're not putting enough emphasis on the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
The fact that in order to change our political jurisdiction out of this unlawful but legal and constitutionally allowed jurisdiction of the Church of the 14th Amendment back into the jurisdiction of the municipal, the public. We're in private law for public use. We need to get back to public law for private use, and that's the common law, and that's the common law that you can get back into at 15 statute of large and change your political jurisdiction lawfully.
Wow, interesting.
As well,
yeah,
as legally.
That's on your website, though. Let's give it to us again, buddy, so we can go see
the
that.
TheWhiteRose.simplesite.com, all lowercases, no spaces. And I got a lot of articles on my website, some new stuff on there, and some pretty interesting pictures. A lot of stuff from Anna von Reitz and a lot of stuff from Lee Brobst. Lee Brobst has got it right on the money. USA, the Republic, is the house that no one lives in. Everybody must read that and understand fully what that's saying.
Cool. The White Rose, simplesite.com.
TheWhiteRose.simplesite.com. Thank you very much. Please, everybody, check it out. It's important. Very,
yep.
Very important.
Thanks
for taking my call, gentlemen. Have a good day.
You too, man. Get back with us. Okay.
Absolutely. Stay safe out there, bro.
Right on. Well, we got just a couple minutes here before the break, and let's see if we can get to Steve in California real quick and maybe hold him over. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. No,
good.
Just to add to that comment you made about Pope Francis instructing the world to open their arms to the immigrants that are standing on the borders, embracing globalism. I mean, maybe it's time for the Catholic Church to kind of dig down in those deep pockets they have and access those billions of dollars they're holding on to help these people if they care so much
about
people.
There you go.
At the same time, they can make up for that priest molestation scandal they had back in the 1980s. You get a chance. See that movie Spotlight. It's an excellent movie.
Spotlight? Cool, yeah.
Spotlight, yeah. Michael Keaton's in it. It's about an investigative team out of, it was Boston. It was called The Globe. Boston
cool.
Globe. And they highlighted excellent.
Got a break, buddy. Hang on if you like. Be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity.
Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Everybody, back to the show here. Final segment on Lightspeed today. Bob Tuscan's show coming up pretty quick here on RBN, and we still got a little bit more time if Steve is still with us. Steve, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. No, hey, I just want to add that, you know, talk is cheap. Anybody could say, you know, do the talk, but actions speak louder than words. So the Catholic Church really cares about people. Maybe it's time to step up and show that and do something. You know, I'm just tired of these people that kind of say everybody else instructing everybody else what they should do while they sit back and do nothing at all. So this is the time for the church, Catholic Church, to step up and walk the walk. They talk in it, now walk the walk.
Sure is. And, you know, I have family, of course, who are Catholic. And I there's a lot of great Catholic people out there, friends. There really are. You know, I don't dislike Catholics for the most part at all. I've had some really great relationships with some wonderful people who are Catholic. But the system itself, you know, is not good. And I got, let's put it this way, almost literally knocked up the side of the head having to get out of that thing. And a lot of other people found a hard, I was never in the Catholic Church, but I mean, I basically had to come to grips with what happened in my life, and why it was going there. And I had to break all the ties with the whole thing. And that was due to my work with AIDS. It's also due to my investigation into the Lincoln assassination and so many other things that are out there that really were, you know, the kinds of things that I was forced to deal with and look at. And today, with all of these people, these Jesuit leaders behind Obama, you just name them, Kerry, Biden, Brennan, Clapper, his whole Warren spy machine are Jesuit-trained people. And you've got Paul Ryan, Boehner, Pelosi, Panetta, Peter King, all of these people in the government. They were trying to run Rubio, but he didn't make it. So, you know, the system is very bad, and it really is troublesome and problematic. How's that word? Troublematic. But Steve, any other comments here? We're kind of running out of time.
Nope, that's it, guys. Let's get a couple more in. Squeeze it in.
All right, thanks. We sure appreciate it. Good old Steve in California. But yeah, you know, there's a lot going on with this whole thing. And of course, you know, there's the banking cartel as well. And these guys play a bait and switch with you. I had an article that was sent to me on a chat that Georgetown has now received $10 million to do a study and a memorial kind of analysis thing on the Holocaust. Okay, yeah. So what are we going to get now? We're going to get the politically correct version of the Holocaust from the Jesuits and the Catholics, no less, right? I mean, this is the shell and pea game, friends, is what it really is. They got one group covering the rear ends of the other, you know what I mean? And they're not really telling you what happened here. You know, an interesting fellow that I've had on the air before is Barry Shamish. He's got a book about the Sabbatean Jews. He's Jewish himself, but he talks about these guys and what they did, the Labor Party, and how they basically broke the back of Germany by just destroying all the trade unions in the early 1930s. And thus, there was nothing left but Adolf Hitler's German Workers' Party, okay? They declared war on Germany. they really did a lot to destroy the German economy. And this is one of the reasons why there was all that simmering anger in the German people at the time Hitler was rising to power. And at the same time, people like George Soros were targeting specific Jews who did not agree with them, who weren't in the labor parties. They were doctors, they were lawyers, they were professionals, you know, architects and things like that. They didn't want to migrate to Israel. They were very happy and they were doing a very good business and were doing very well there in Europe. But these people had to go. So they created these guys as victims, as scapegoats. There was suffering that took place there. Okay, friends, you know, there's a lot to that story. I can get into that at length sometime. I might even have Barry on to talk about that. This has been Lightspeed. Dave, are you with us for a sign-off here?
Yep, absolutely. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, stay safe and stay free.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
And I've got Steve Starrs riding along, and we're going to be talking about...
Wait a second. You're not Bob? Then who the hell are you? If you're not Bob Tuscan, who the hell are you?
Well, I'm Dave, but hey, we've got Bob here.
Hey,
so,
it's Bob. It's Bob.
Carry on, Bob. I'll shut up now.
It's actually Bob,
gentlemen,
man.
Gentlemen, I'm going to be hanging out with you on my own show today. Can you believe this?
Yeah. Actually, we're glad to have you hanging out on your show.
I have a huge announcement that I want to make today. Absolutely huge announcement. Everybody was hot off of Super Tuesday last week. This is going to be a Super Monday, a manic Monday, if you will, on the Bob Tuscan Show. I finally have started to come around on a candidate.
You mean a place to live or a candidate?
A candidate, an actual presidential candidate. I know I promised my listeners that I would never get in on it. I know I said numerous times that it's a big smoke and mirror nonsense circus. But, you know, this candidate just, let me just let the cat out of the bag.